Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Joshua in chapter 1. The book of Joshua and chapter 1. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pause now, please, for prayer. Our Father, as we read these words tonight, we cannot but be blessed. Our hearts cannot but be warmed by this eternal truth that we have read. And Father, these words of encouragement, let them sink down into the soul of every one of thy children. No matter what trial, no matter what disappointment, no matter what uncertainty that lies ahead, O God, we have these everlasting words. And I pray that the Spirit of God would so reinforce them into our spirit that we would not be discouraged, we would not be cast down, that we would learn what it means to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and not be discouraged or set aside. Father, hear our prayers tonight. Come near and help me, I pray. Take me, Lord, and fill me with thy Spirit. For I am weak of myself, and I have no might nor power. And therefore, Lord, for this dear people, they need what I cannot give them. And I pray, Lord, tonight that thy Spirit would come and be poured out in abundance upon every one of thy children. And Lord, that we might rejoice with joy that is unspeakable, that we might rest ourselves in the Word of God. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Draw near and encourage every soul. And what about, Lord, those tonight who are still unsaved? Will they go through another service, Lord, and reject thee? Will they walk out through these doors or turn their computer off at the end of the night and still be outside of Christ? Lord, do not allow that to happen. We pray that the Spirit of God will so arrest the hearts of those who are still unsaved and bring them to the cross. Bring them to bow, Lord, we pray, that they might say, Oh God, save me, for I am a sinful man. Hear our prayers, Lord, tonight. Give us the joy of pointing men and women, boys and girls, to the cross. Give us the joy, we pray, of leading them to the Savior. Lord, all we are is signposts. All we are is to be those to reflect the beauty of Christ and to be pointing toward the Lamb of God. And Father, Thou hast said, and our Savior has said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So, Father, hear our prayers now tonight. Be with us. Settle us down. Take away every distraction. Don't allow the things of tomorrow and whatever those concerns would be to invade, to intrude upon the sacred time now. But let us feast and rest ourselves upon these eternal words that we have read. Hear our prayers now. Be with us, we ask Thee, in Jesus' worthy and holy name. Amen. Well, now in our congregational reading, back just a few pages, we read from Deuteronomy 32. These are the final words that Moses was writing and that he spoke to the people. And he tried to encourage them in verse 46 of chapter 32. He said, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. Set your hearts on them. I reminded you about this verse just two Lord's days ago as we were thinking upon the same subject of the Word of God and how essential it is for us to immerse our thinking, our mind, our lives, our spirits to walk in the will of God. And how do we know what the will of the Lord is, friend? We know the will of God as it is revealed to us in His own sacred page. If you are reading through the Scripture in the daily readings that we give out to you at the end of the year, we will have come recently past chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. And as you have commenced this section of the reading, whether you knew it or not, you were beginning a new section of the Word of God. The first five books of the Bible, they are the books of Moses, and they are called the Law or the Pentateuch. And though there are many today who would deny the authorship of Moses, and they would question it and say it was actually written by several different authors, we find this was prominent among the German higher criticism that brought in liberalism from the sense of denying or cutting apart much of the Scripture. And yet the Lord Jesus made it very clear the authorship of the law was written by Moses. And however you want to see or question that, bring back again yourself to the Scripture. Moses is the author of these first five books of the Word of God. But then from Joshua to the end of the book of Kings, it is in the Jewish writers, they refer to this as the first book of the prophets. You see, the Old Testament was divided into three sections, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. But the prophets, it includes more than just the major and minor prophets, as we sometimes refer to them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and so on, and then the minor prophets. But it includes more than that as far as the breakdown of the Old Testament. And so from Joshua right to the end of the book of Kings, it is the first book of the prophets according to the Jewish canon. And this is important for us to know that because we have recorded now the history of the Jewish people from the time they have moved into the promised land. And so you begin in Joshua a brand new section, beginning in this area of the Word of the Lord. And you know, when we consider this in our own personal Bible study, it will help us to know exactly what is happening so that we get a rounded picture of the development of God's revelation to His people and how He was unfolding. This was a new era that was beginning. And in the opening verses of Joshua chapter 1, we have something that has not happened before up to this point. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua." This has not happened before. This is the first time in the Scripture. Up to this point, the Lord has been communicating to Moses in his dealings with the people of Israel from the time they came out of Egypt. So the Lord was using Moses. He was raised up as a mighty prophet of the Lord. But now the Lord reveals to His servant that Moses is dead. And why was that important? Because, well, you see, Moses went up into Mount Nebo. And when he went up to Mount Nebo, no one saw him at that point. And so they did not really know, was Moses dead or was he not dead? Remember back in Mount Sinai, he went up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was there for such an extended time that the people thought, we don't know what's happened to him. And that brought on the whole ordeal of the golden calf. And so now the definitive word has come from God: Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, you are going to be the new leader, the new director, the one who has to take over and do exactly what I have told you and through the operation that Moses had. You see, every change in church history, and as God is unfolding this, it sometimes is accompanied by a tumult. Certainly, change is uncomfortable for many of us. And it was like that for the people of God here. There was going to be a great distinction that occurred here. And the picture for us is that Moses, the man who gave the law, was not able to bring the people of God into the promised land. But Joshua, the same name is Jesus, Joshua was going to be the one to bring them into their possessions, as our Lord Jesus Christ has brought us into our spiritual possessions because of what He has done on the cross of Calvary. The law could not do what Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, has done for us. And He has brought us into feast in the great liberty and freedom of the gospel. Joshua did not have an easy task in front of him. Because of the uniqueness of Moses and his ministry, in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, we are told there was not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. And so, as this young man now comes on to take over the responsibility, it is an ominous one. It is a great challenge. And understandably, Joshua, who had grown up witnessing the mighty works of Moses, surely would have felt completely unable and unmanned for this great task that was upon him. Matthew Henry, in the opening part of his second volume, he wrote these words: "Let God have all the glory, and let all the rivers return to the ocean whence they came." He said, "When I look back on what I have done, I see nothing to boast of, but a great deal to be ashamed of. And when I look forward on what is to be done, I see nothing in myself to trust in for doing it. I have no sufficiency of my own, but by the grace of God, I am what I am." And as Joshua is now embarking upon this new challenge, certainly he would have looked back on what he had accomplished in his own life and said, "Lord, There has been so much failure, so much that I am ashamed of. And yet I look forward to what you've called me to do. And it is a great work. It is a work I am unable for. It would appear that Joshua was fearful and overwhelmed, for the Lord told him in verse 9 of chapter 1 not to be afraid, neither to be dismayed. Do not be shattered in pieces. Do not just crumble under the weight of this. You sometimes feel like that, believer. You feel that the task and the job in front of you, it's overwhelming. You cannot possibly live the Christian life as faithfully as we are called to do from the Scripture. And you say to yourself, I am not able for this. And you are afraid. Well, you have a right to be afraid. Because the job is a great one. It is a challenge that is beyond you. And what can you do but just bring yourself to the Lord? Such a responsibility. It could completely dismantle a man as Joshua faced this transition period that the Lord came to Joshua at the time to reassure him. To reassure him of this truth, that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What I fulfilled in Moses and what I promised would be fulfilled after him will come to pass, and I will do this through you. But it was certainly a traumatic time for God's servant. For Israel, they came to uncertain times in front of them. They did not know what was going to happen. They knew this, knew there were mighty enemies in Canaan. They knew there were cities, walled cities. There were giants in the land. They had iron chariots. They knew there was a great enemy that faced them. But God came to his servant and he gave him words of instruction, words of comfort, my friends, and words of promise. And he said, I want to give you tonight, and I want to turn your attention to verse 5 of chapter 1, that we might be reminded again of these precious words that God gave to his servant. Thou, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And perhaps, my friend, you can hear ringing in your ears the echo of Hebrews chapter 13. Where the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is the word of Christ to Joshua. This is the great captain of his salvation. And remember, a few chapters ahead, there will be the man that confronts Joshua before he embarks upon facing the enemy. And Joshua says in his ignorance, perhaps, are you for us or are you for the enemy? And he said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. And at that point, Joshua fell down before him, and he had to take his shoes off, for he stood upon holy ground. For he was meeting the same person that met Moses at the burning bush. And here now, the captain of the Lord's host, the Christ of God, is now meeting his servant, and he is coming to deal with him. And Joshua is going to receive from the Lord these words of great encouragement. And the Lord gave him a promise. And the promise was, I will be with you. The promise of his presence. And up to this point, God had always spoken through Moses. But now it was going to be different, and the responsibility was now changing to a large degree. And it's important because the people, well, they needed to be reassured that God was still with him. But you see, Joshua had to know, and the people had to know, that he was guided by God. They had been so dependent upon Moses. They knew how he spoke. They were afraid of him because they knew he walked with God. In fact, when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone with the presence of the Lord, and he had to put a veil upon his face. Would Joshua know the same power? Would Joshua be in the same communion with the Lord? Well, God was saying to him, I will be with you as I was with Moses. For Joshua, this promise, it could not have come in a better time. Isn't it just like the Lord to speak words to us at the time when we need assurance and reaffirmation? Christian, don't miss this today. Because when you are going through times of fainting, times when your knees spiritually seem very weak and you're ready to crumble and fall down, it's just then that the Lord comes to you and he will say, fear not, I am with thee. As I was with my servants in the past, do not think you're any different. Do not become weak and faltering. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The solemn reality is this. Moses is not here anymore. And you may have looked up to him, Joshua. You may have looked to him for direction, for orders, for commands. What should I do next? And the list was prepared, and Moses gave it into the hands of this man, but he is gone now. And all the responsibility and all the decision-making and all the burdens and all the difficult judgments and all the heat of the problems, where are they going to be now? They're going to be upon the shoulders of this man. It was now that Joshua had to see that his rest was only going to be found in the same God that has promised to Moses, as I was with him, Joshua, so I will be with you. Christian, do not miss this point tonight to your own soul. Whether you have a great work to do, or whether you have a medium or a small work to do, whether you think you're unimportant and not of great value, in the eyes of God, you are of great value, friend. He has saved you by his grace. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed to purchase your salvation. Don't think that you're not vitally important to the Lord. Whether it's big or small, whether you have a great work or a small work to do, the Lord is with you. But how was God with Moses? Because if we answer this question, it will help us to see how God will be with us. And there might be some difference of the details, that's for sure, but the lessons are the same, and they're vital for us. Back in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was a shepherd boy, not a shepherd boy, but a shepherd out on the backside of the desert, he was not a great man. He was a very ordinary man. But you know, the Lord pleases to use common men, common people. Not many mighty are called, not many wise men are chosen, but the Lord has been pleased to choose the simple and the weak to confound the mighty. And the Lord was going to make his great purposes known through a weak man as Moses was. And the Lord gave to him a humble task on the backside of the desert, where he met him and he revealed his purpose to him. And he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I am come down. And he said, I have seen the oppression that was upon them, and I am going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to deliver my people. But Moses realized he was not up for the task, and he said to the Lord, but who am I? Virtually, Lord, I am nobody. I am not able for this task. Pharaoh would not listen to me because I am a nothing man. The Lord said, Moses, certainly I will be with thee. And that's the first promise that we see God giving to his servant of his presence. I will be with you. And the phrase, I will be with thee, it literally means, I am, is with thee. And the word I am is the very name that God revealed himself to Moses, and he was going to be known to his people, the eternally existent one. I am is with thee. There could not be a greater thing for God's servant to know. In exchange, when Moses asked the question about who I am, he learned some things from God that day. He learned about his identity. You know, when we have a meeting with God, we learn some things about ourselves. And when we are found, what we find out about ourselves is our identity. Who really are we? Who are we? Because when we meet Jesus Christ, we learn something about who we are and our identity, and we learn about who we are in the Savior from that point forward. We realize then we have been taken from a pit of sin. We have been delivered from our unworthiness and our wickedness. And we have been placed upon the rock of our salvation. We have a new name. We have a new heart. We have a new identity. We have a new nature. Friends, all of these things given to us in Christ. And now that we are in him, we have a relationship with God now. With the Savior in our life, we are new people. And old things pass away, and behold, all things, they become new. And though we are nothing, friend, in our own eyes, yet the Lord, being with us and in us, we become a new, sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth, as Isaiah says, and we are empowered and strengthened and made what we were not before by the abiding presence of the Lord with us. Believer, in this way that Joshua learned that Moses' God was his God, is the same truth that you and I will take tonight, that Moses' God is our God today. And the same word that he spoke to his servant then, we may apply to ourselves tonight. Joshua learned something else. He learned that through this promise that he would have authority to speak, and it was from God and not his own ability. That's what Moses had to learn. Moses said, well, who am I? But the Lord said, well, I made your mouth. I made your tongue. I will equip you. You will go and be my spokesman. And you know the story, how that Moses argued back and forth. And finally, the Lord said, I'm going to send Aaron, and he's going to be your spokesman. And they shared that responsibility together. This time, not so. Because Joshua is going to hear this word from God and receive this truth and learn that he has authority from God to speak. In Exodus 4 and 12, the Lord said, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou wilt say. And you know, the encouragement for us throughout the scripture, God says to his people, you don't have to worry. I am going to speak through you. In Isaiah 50 in verse 4, the Lord God hath given me, Isaiah said, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. And so as God speaks to us from the word, then we are enabled and empowered to communicate that message. And Jeremiah 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. What a precious promise. God is saying to us tonight, my word, through my spirit, I will put in you, so that when you go to do his work and his service, it is not you that speaks, but it is God's spirit that will speak through you. In Matthew 10 and verse 19, it says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For God's Spirit works in and through his people. So Moses and Joshua, they learn now about his identity and about his authority to speak. But he also learned that the promise was going to be fulfilled for guidance, and it was going to be given by the Lord's Spirit. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, it says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he shall be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And this word Moses had given to Joshua already. And now God's going to reinforce that truth. Guidance given by God. That's what he learned. That's what he learned about the presence of the Lord being with him. And friend, you and I learn that tonight, and we'll take that with us throughout our Christian journey. God's presence with us means that we know who we are. It means that we have power to speak. And it means that we will have his promise of guidance. But there's one thing more. He promises us communion with him. In chapter 33 and verse 14, the Lord said, "My presence shall go with thee." The people of God have been encouraged and challenged by this truth of the communing Lord with his people. Do you remember back when the tabernacle, after the golden calf issue, and Moses moved the tabernacle outside of the camp, and the Lord's glory was there in the tabernacle at that time, the glory of God descended, and Moses then went to continue to do his work. But where was Joshua? Joshua remained in the tabernacle then. He remained in the presence of the Lord. Why? So that he could commune with his God. And he knew that communion of the Lord by his own history. Ah, but my friend, God was promising him now. That was not just a one-off thing. That was not just temporary. And Christian, do you know in the time past in your life, maybe you have known the presence of God. Maybe there was a thing you look back to and say, well, God was with me back then. But maybe you haven't known the intimacy of his communion in these last days, months, years, maybe. Don't despair, because the Lord promises ye will continue to be with his people. Let us seek after him and understand that he wants to be with us. He wants to open his own heart that we might commune and fellowship with him day by day. So Joshua learned about his identity. He learned about his authority to speak. And he learned about God's presence with him and about his guidance. But there's something else we learn from this promise in chapter 1 and verse 5, and that is the promise of God's power in his servant. He said, "There shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." In Deuteronomy 7 and 24, God spake through Moses that Israel would defeat the armies of Canaan, seven nations that were mightier than them. And so when God raised up Israel, he didn't do it because they were a mighty nation, because they were the weakest of nations. He didn't do it because they were overly religious, because they actually had a very stiff neck and they were hard-hearted people. The Lord raised up his people because he loved them and he set his love on them. And so now he's saying to Joshua, look, the nations that you're going into to take over from, they are mightier than you are. But that's not anything for God to worry about. God's power would be upon his servant. "And there shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Joshua knew the power of God, and now he had seen it already because Pharaoh had been defeated. Remember Sihon and Og, the enemies, as they were traversing through the wilderness, they were defeated. And now Canaan's would be no different than that. Actually, in Joshua 10 and verse 8, where he began a major campaign to defeat the enemies when the sun stood still. And he began that campaign, and the Lord was unfolding that very promise of his power that he would indeed conquer this. But you remember the setback, don't you, of Ai? After Jericho had been defeated, and they took counsel, and he said, well, we'll not send up all the people to that small city of Ai. They just said, well, we'll send up some. But of course, that was not how the Lord had told them. He said, you will bring up all the men of war against those enemies that you're facing. And there was a defeat. And of course, the problem was sin was in the camp. And that was the whole situation of Achan. And now he had taken from Jericho that which was devoted unto God. And he had taken the gold and the silver and the goodly Babylonish garment, and he hid it under his tent, and no one knew about it. It seemed they didn't. But the Lord knew, and he saw. And they would not be able to go on any farther until they dealt with the sin, and they got it eradicated. And friend, we learn a great lesson there. If you want God's presence and his power in your life, if we acknowledge sin, if we take sin into ourselves, do not think we will have power with God. It will not happen. And until we confess and forsake and put that sin away, we will not know the blessing of the Lord upon our lives. And the promise of God, let us be certain of this, it is conditional upon our obedience as his people. If we live in sin, if we disregard his word, don't think that things are going to just go on and everything's going to be okay. It will not be okay. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear our prayers. And so we are encouraged to put right that which is wrong, to confess the sin and forsake the sin and get it under the blood of Christ. And don't allow a day to go by where there is unconfessed sin. Keep short accounts with God, my friends. As the Apostle Paul said, I strive to have a conscience void of offense before God and before men. Do you know what it's like when you harbor some sin in your heart and you hold it there and you try to cover it over and you try to mask it with all kinds of other activities and energies and so on? When you come to pray, the sin is just revealed. The iniquity is laid bare. And we cannot go on. We cannot go forward. And the more we try to do it, the more hypocrisy and double speaking we just find ourselves in. And there will be no blessing on our lives. And the Lord had to show Joshua this very truth, that sin cannot go unnoticed. And there will not be blessing. We pray for the Lord's blessing in this congregation. We desire to go forward in his power. But friend, if there's sin abiding in your heart, if there's sin abiding in my heart that's not confessed, the Lord's Spirit will not be poured out upon us. And so we desire to have that purity of heart and soul and to know God's power. And there has to be that confession of sin in order to know daily communion and victory to walk with him. Certainly that warning comes to us because if things are not right personally or in the family or in other areas, God's blessing will be taken from us and will be just like Samson. See, Samson was a blessed man of God in many ways. He was a judge of Israel, did many mighty works. But he went off and went astray, and there was a time that came when the Lord withdrew completely his power from him. And the sad thing is that Samson went out as he had done before, and he shook himself thinking that he had still the power that he once had. But he had no power anymore, for they had all finally taken its toll upon him. My friend, if we do not confess and forsake and put away that which is grieving to the Lord, then we will not know his blessing in our own lives or in our church. And then finally, There was for God's servant the promise of his provision, of taking care of all his needs. For he said, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, it says, And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of a good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. How is this promise fulfilled here? And what's the example for us? Well, you remember that David was not able to build the temple of the Lord because God said he was a man of war, a man of blood. But that did not stop David from a full heart of preparing for the temple, and he gathered much good in, and he got all the supplies, put them at the hand of Solomon so that he was able to build. You see, God promised that he would provide for all the needs of his servants. And he uses varying means to do this and to accomplish those things. And the promise that David gave, it was very similar to the word that Joshua received from Moses and now from the Lord himself. I will be with thee. Fear not. Go forward. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You will finish the task that I have given you to do. But you will finish it because of my presence with you. And you will finish it because of my power in you. And you will finish it because I will provide for you all you have need of. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For Jesus hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Friend, where are you tonight in your need? What provision do you have that God needs to supply for you? What prayer is it that you bring to him and you say, Lord, it has not yet been supplied, but I do need that. What do you desire from him? You come and God has promised that he will take care of our needs. And yes, we think of the temporal requirements that we have, for every one of us have the daily necessary and temporal things, and the Lord has promised to take care of us in those things. But I suggest to you there is something far more important, and that is our spiritual need. And our spiritual need is that which will strengthen us and make us a witness for him and enable us to serve God and lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt and thieves do not come through and steal. And God has promised to his servant, and he promises to us that he will not leave us nor forsake us. Come to him. Bring that need. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the greatest need of your soul tonight is that God would save you and that you would confess your sin to him. And I pray that your heart would be open and you would say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? I need the grace of God. Say that to the Lord tonight, where you're seated just now. Humbly pray and call out to him and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And as you pray that prayer in the sincerity of your heart, God has promised to hear. And he will hear, friend. And he will save you. And you will know the joy and peace of believing. And whether you're here in this meeting or listening tonight over the internet, friend, wherever you are, call out unto him. For he has promised to be your Savior and to be your Redeemer. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, tonight we just leave our hearts open. And I pray, Father, for a deep work by the Spirit of God done in us. Lord, we are nothing of ourselves. We are not worthy of the least of thy mercies. But I pray tonight that
that every sin in us would be exposed, and that we would put it under the blood of Christ, that we would confess and forsake it, so that we would not be stripped of our power, but rather we would go on from strength to strength. We would be a living testimony and a living and powerful and vital witness in our communication with each other, in our communities, in our families, in our workplace. Lord, use us, we pray. And we ask that it might please Thee, Lord, to pour out Thy Spirit upon us in a mighty reviving. Take from us, Lord, all that we have and use us. Because we know Thou hast promised to replenish and give to us all that we need in order to give back unto Thee. Thou art great, Lord, and we so often limit Thy power by our own puny thinking. So deliver us, we pray. Give us the spirit and heart of a William Carey, who said to ask great things from God and expect great things of Him. And, O Lord, give us that giant-sized faith, we pray. Lord, part us now, we ask, in Thy fear. With Thy rich blessing, take us on our way rejoicing. Defeat the devil and sin in our lives. And help us to be a powerful influence from tomorrow, from as we go forward in our daily life. Help us, Lord, we ask. Glorify Thy Son in and through us. Prepare us, we pray, for the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, the men's prayer time tomorrow night. May we know Thy presence. And Lord, as we come to think of next Lord's Day and all that it represents to us as Thy people, may it be a high day in Thy house, we ask. Draw near, bless us. We pray all these things in Jesus' worthy name.